shining bright. I've been in the valley when the clouds were black as night. I've been betrayed by Jesus, my friend who wasn't true. But in the good times or the bad times, Lord, I learned to lean on you.
Well, aren't you glad this morning we have the Lord to lean upon?
Amen.
And He will take our load if we give it to Him. And He will help us bear what we seem we cannot bear. Welcome to Calvary Baptist Church this morning. I want to say it's good to see each and every one of you. I want to welcome our Facebook viewers as well, those that watch faithfully online. Thank you for tuning in this morning, and this is our Thanksgiving service, and so we are just looking forward to singing some songs and giving the Lord praise, and then bringing a Thanksgiving-related message this morning, and so we just praise the Lord for who He is and for what He does. I want to remind everyone of our Thanksgiving dinner tonight at 5 o'clock. Down in the fellowship hall. It'll be a great time together. And we'll read a verse or two. And give another opportunity to go around the room and for others to say some things they're thankful for. And so looking forward to that tonight. And supposed to have Brother Snyder and Miss Marcia, Sister Marcia with us tonight, I believe. And so we're looking forward to that, having them back with us. We just urge you to come be part of it, and it's going to be a great time this evening at 5 o'clock. I was just given word by Marianne Sanvey that Miss Mary Kelly got in an auto accident yesterday, and she released from the hospital, or she's at home, but it's always an alarm when you hear about someone you know and love that got in an auto accident. And so, let's pray for her, because sometimes you don't feel the effects of it till days after. And so, let's remember Miss Mary Kelly in our prayers. Good to see Brother Dion with us, walking in here strutting. That new knee he has. In fact, maybe a little limp, but instead of strutting. But anyway, I like to pick on Dion when I can. He has been through it with his knee surgery, and his great helpmate helping him through it, Miss Elna. We just praise the Lord that you're here and you had your surgery, and you are on the other end of it in recovery. Praise the Lord for that. Just so good to see everybody this morning. We just praise the Lord for those who have joined recently. It's so refreshing to have some come and join the church. We give the Lord praise for that as well. Just looking to have a great time this morning, and ready to worship. And the Lord is worthy of our praise, isn't He, this morning? He is. He has done so much for us. And so let us offer unto Him the sacrifice of praise. And so we do that this morning. We offer the offering of praise to God continually, not just at Thanksgiving, but year-round. And so let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning. We'll toss it back to Brother Allen. Father, we love You. We praise You this morning. So many smiles, so many of Your people that showed up, Lord, with, You can tell, with expectation on their faces of what's to come in the service this morning. And Father, we pray that You would show up and be real to them. We have not congregated ourselves together in vain. We've come to worship You. Those who are in leadership, Lord, they've prepared, they've studied. Everybody from Sunday school hour to now, Brother Allen and the choir, our musicians, Lord, those in the sound room that we are so, so very thankful for, the audio and video, those in our sound room, God, they have prepared. And so, Lord, here it is. It's the hour of worship. We want to lift You up. I pray for someone here this morning that's not saved, that today they will gain assurance in their heart that when they die, heaven will be their home. And then maybe for the Christian that is depressed, discouraged, I pray, Lord, that they would find the peace and solace that they're looking for this morning, which is only in You. And God, for all the others that come this way, I pray they'll receive a blessing as well. We love You. We thank You. We praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Choir, would you stand with me? Church, would you stand and turn over to page number 265. Page 265, and let's sing this morning. Love lifted me. Please don't forget about our Sunday night Thanksgiving fellowship this evening at 5 o'clock downstairs in the fellowship hall. And I know that there's been a lot of food and everything already prepared, and some have already brought theirs in. And so please don't forget your food tonight. And make sure that you invite someone to come and be in the house of the Lord this evening. And bring some folks with you. It'll be a great time. We look forward to it this evening. We have so much to be thankful for. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
And we are thankful to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Dion, it is great to see you, brother, up and around. And we're thankful for what the Lord's done. Some others who have gone through some health issues, great to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. And I had my first week back at work, maybe a little light duty, but I'm thankful for the Lord being with me through this week. And we actually had our Thanksgiving. If I look like a stuffed turkey this morning, you'll know what happened. We had ours yesterday, and we're very thankful to be able to get the family together. Some folks are traveling today. You'll notice the children's home is not here with us, which means we're missing about half of the choir. But it is, we need to lift them up in prayer. Lord, keep them safe. A lot of folks traveling through the week for Thanksgiving. We'll just pray for traveling mercies this morning. If you're visiting with us this morning, you are our special guest. And we thank you for being with us here at Calvary. And we pray that when we leave today, we'll be all say it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Ask God's blessing on the service. Pray for pastor this morning. Pray for the blessing of the offering this morning as well. Brother Don, would you take us to the Lord this morning in a word of prayer?
Thank you.
God is so good. Amen. Count your many blessings and see what God has done. I sat there as he was playing that, and I started thinking about all of my blessings. I'm thankful for a family, a wonderful family. Thankful for my church family, and what you mean to me and what we mean to each other. I'm thankful that I have my family that I can worship with. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for a great group of musicians that we have here at the church. I'm thankful for a job that the Lord has blessed me with. I'm thankful for a roof over my head. I'm thankful for food that's on the table and shoes on my feet. But more than anything else, very more than anything else, I'm thankful as a 15-year-old young man, I knelt at an altar and I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I'm still as saved today, Brother Harold, as I was on the night when I accepted him. So more than anything, I am thankful for salvation that is full and free. You pray for us as we sing the song this morning that says, "When I got up, I knew I'd been changed."
Praise the Lord this morning. Yesterday, I celebrated 20 years being a Christian. And it's amazing how time flies. Especially when you're following the Lord, and the journeys He has you on is an amazing thing. And appreciate the Lord saving me and changing me from the inside out. And He's still doing that. He is still changing me from the inside out. And just so thankful this morning for my salvation. So thankful that the Lord chooses the foolish things of this world. Somebody say amen right there. To confound the wise. Confound the wise. Not many mighty are called, but God chooses the base things. The things that someone would say, that guy right there will never amount to anything in life. That girl right there could never do anything to amount to anything in life. Those are the ones that God hath chosen. And I'm one of those. I'm one of those. I'm one of those lizards under the rock, brother, that devil thought he had me smashed. But praise the Lord for His goodness. Go ahead and make your way to Hebrews chapter number 13, if you would. We will read a verse here in just a moment. Verse number 15. And we're going to be flipping and turning to several places. Actually, I'll let you know to turn there or not. I may just want you to stay put and follow my train of thought. But as you're turning to Hebrews 13, verse number 15, I want to ask a question. When I say Thanksgiving parts, what do you think of? Parts of the turkey? Things that have to come together before family comes over? Sounds like Thanksgiving parts, doesn't it? Thanksgiving parts. These things are certainly so when it comes to the Thanksgiving holiday. There's the start, the middle, the end. There's the make the food, eat the food, clean up after the food. There's the family comes, family stays, and family leaves. Sometimes, praise the Lord. Sometimes that's the case. Amen. Thank you. But in the Christian life, when I talk about Thanksgiving parts, there's Thanksgiving parts that should be a part of our life, not just on the holiday, but in every day. So this morning, with the help of the Lord, I want to preach for a few moments on that subject, Thanksgiving parts. Thanksgiving parts. I want to share three parts that should be a part of our Thanksgiving and daily lives. Down in the audio video room, you should have my backdrop. Three parts of Thanksgiving that I want to mention that should be a part of our everyday life, not just one time a year. Number one, of course, praise. Thank you, guys. Praise. We know that. We're used to coming together at Thanksgiving, whether it was growing up in school or church, and we're used to, on Thanksgiving, give praise, give thanks for what we're thankful for. But when I look into the Word of God, I see that praise is given in at least three different ways in the Bible. Now, we're here in Hebrews 13, verse number 15. First of all, we see in the Bible that praise is giving verbally. Verbally. Notice what he says in verse 15 of Hebrews 13. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. This morning, Jesus says he wants to hear it. He says he wants to hear it. You may say, well, Brother Justin, I'm bashful, I'm shy. You're looking at someone that never thought they could stand up and speak before anybody before God saved me. I would take a big old zero in class. I would take an F before standing in front of anybody and saying anything. This morning, God has a way of, again, choosing the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, but he wants everyone to tell him he's thankful. He wants everybody to say that they're thankful. He wants to hear it verbally. Now, what if this morning, if Christy and Lily would every day say, Lily would say, I love you, Dad, and Christy would say, I love you, husband, and I'd just nod my head and smile. That'd be kind of weird, wouldn't it? Number one, that'd be weird. Dad, I love you. Christy comes home. Hey, it's been a long day. I hadn't seen you all day. I love you. Just kind of giggle. She'll say, what in the world are you up to, young man? She'll speak to me like a mother. Or if they said, we love you, and I would say, ditto. Well, that won't work, will it? Now, they know that I love them, but it's just something about hearing it verbally. They come in and they say, we love you, and I say, I love you too. There's just something about that expression through the lips that confirms the heart of the hearer. And so this morning we see praise, and it's to be done verbally. Now, verse 15, he says, by him, by Jesus, by his sacrifice, or because of his sacrifice, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Another word for sacrifice here is just offering. He says, because of what Jesus did upon the cross, therefore, in response to, let us offer the offering of praise to him. Because of what he did, let us tell him we love him. Because of how he works in our life, let us offer him this morning the words of adoration and say, Jesus, we love you because of how you work in our life. Jesus, we love you because of the sacrifice you gave yourself upon the cross. By him, because of him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice or the offering of praise. Then he says, to God continually. Continually. Not just one day out of the year. Not just in the Thanksgiving service at a church. Not just then. Not just when, and here's a tough one, when times are hard or when times are easy. Not just when times are easy. Not just at Thanksgiving once a year. Not just when it's convenient. Not just when things are going right. But he wants us to find our praise, like we preached last Sunday morning, in, not for everything, but in everything, give thanks. And so he wants us, because of his sacrifice, to offer the offering of praise to God continually, every day, 365, every opportunity we get, we are through to offer this offering of sacrifice or this offering of praise with the fruit of our lips continually, he says. That is the fruit of our lips, meaning he wants us to say it. He wants us to say it. If you love him, he wants to hear it. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise, the offering of praise to God continually. That's the challenge, but we do it because of him. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. This morning, we see that one of the ways that thanksgiving is given is verbally in the Bible. One part of thanksgiving is praise, and it's given verbally in the Bible. Don't turn here, just listen to this verse. Psalm 105 verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people." And so we're told we ought to give thanks. Part of thanksgiving for the believer is praise, and we're to do it verbally. He wants to hear it this morning. He wants to hear it. There's a second way in the Bible we see that praise is given, not only verbally, but physically. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 17 for a moment. Luke 17. We see that praise was given in a certain situation out of Luke 17, verse 11 through 18, over a physical matter. And it is the account of the lepers. Notice, if you would, in verse number 11, Luke 17. "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger.'" That's reading verse 11 down through verse number 18. We see that praise is given through a situation physically. Now, we see that there were 10 men who had leprosy in verse number 12. The Bible says, "And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off." And we know how the story goes. We know that they were all healed, but only one of them returned praise. Now, what I find very interesting about this account, and that has always helped me, is verse number 14. Verse 13, they say, "Have mercy on us." But notice what Jesus tells them to do in verse 14. "And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go. Go show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." You see, these lepers, of course, they were ostracized from the community. Whenever you would see a leper, you would have to put your hand over your mouth and yell, "Unclean, unclean, unclean, unclean." And so they were not allowed in the community. But I think it's something that being in the condition they were in, having leprosy, Jesus told them to go show themselves to the priests. It was the job of the priest to render them clean or unclean. Well, they knew that they were unclean. They knew they had leprosy. But you see, it has everything to do with them asking Jesus to have mercy on them. And then in verse 14, having the faith to go, not knowing the consequences. Jesus said in verse 14, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go. He didn't say it was going to end well. He didn't say everything would turn out right. All he said was, go. And it was somewhere in the process of obeying Jesus and his words. It was somewhere over here having leprosy. And then Jesus saying, go. And as they went, it was somewhere in the process. It was where faith and doubt met. Well, I have leprosy. Jesus, you know that, but you tell me to go and get inspected of the priest. Well, you know he's going to say unclean, but at your word, I'll go. It was somewhere in the process. The Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. Some of you this morning are struggling to believe God for something in your life. Some of you have been through a storm in your life, and the Lord has proven himself mighty to you. All you knew was Jesus says, go and just focus on me. Go and face your problem. I will stand with you. Go and move towards me. I will uphold you. You didn't know how it would turn out. You didn't know how it would go, but you went. Although faith and doubt were intermingling with all of the faith that you had within yourself, you went, obeyed the Lord, and it was somewhere in the process that God met your need. Some of you this morning have been through troubled times. And you, in your situation, you did not know how it would end up. You just knew you had to do something. So you followed. And you followed. And you followed. And somewhere in the process, God touched you. He touched your situation. He touched your dilemma. Some are here this morning needing a some of you this are here this morning need a touch. And you're like, Jesus, how will it turn out? I need to know today so that I can go to work tomorrow and have a good day. I need to know today, Lord, how things will end up. He doesn't tell us about tomorrow. He just tells us to go and have faith in me and take me at my word. You see, church, there comes a point in our Christian journey where childlike faith must graduate to trust. Faith that is untried is not true faith at all. Faith has to be tested. Faith has to be tried. And then when it's tried and tested, it's true. So some of you this morning have been praying about stuff. You've been waiting on God and there has been no answer. Even things have gotten maybe a little worse. But the object here, or the truth here he wants us to know is to just go. Go. You know, what happens when you don't go? You fall apart. You know that, right? If you don't exercise your faith and go, your faith will fall apart, not your salvation. Think about it for a moment. You have an automobile in your driveway, and you never crank it. You never drive it. It's just sitting there. It's a vehicle to get you from point A to point B. But if you never crank it, if you never drive it, it won't get you anywhere, obviously. But number two, it'll fall apart just by sitting there. You see, those of us that are saved have the ability to trust God because of the new birth and take Him at His word. But it must be tested and it must be tried so we can graduate to a greater level of trust in Him. And so therefore we have to go. We have to move. We have to walk through the fires of life. We have to go through the floods of life. We have to deal and we have to go through those things because it's somewhere in the middle of that God grows us up. How are we going to trust God for the big things if we can't trust Him in the little things? How are we going to trust God for what's coming down the pipe if we can't trust Him for what we're dealing with now? And so you see, these lepers, they obeyed. They went not knowing the outcome, but it was somewhere in the process. As they went, they were cleansed. We see praise in the Bible. It should be a part of our life. And we see it verbally, but we see it physically played out in the life of these lepers. And so we praise the Lord this morning for Him doing things as we go. But then turn, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter 16. Not only we see praise given verbally, physically, but in Acts 16, we see praise given dramatically. Dramatically. Acts 16, we know that Paul and Silas was thrown in prison for doing right, for obeying God. They were thrown in prison. Verse 23, the Bible says of Acts 16, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. So much packed in this little these three little verses. So much. But let me just say this. During their dark hour of drama in their life, they praised the Lord. They praised the Lord. One thing we see on the surface is that they were heard praising the Lord in verse 25, and the prisoners heard them. Somebody's always watching and listening how we handle life situations. There's always someone that could be converted, someone that could be saved off of the trials we go through. But in verse number 25, and at midnight, it was their darkest hour. They were locked up for doing right. They were chained, and no doubt in a murky and musty and damp prison. There they were for following God. And what you don't see on here in these page in these verses, you don't see Paul and Silas complaining. You don't read about them asking God why. You don't read none of that. But during this dark time of drama in their life, dramatically, they called out to God, verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. How could they do that? Could they praise God because of their situation? Well, maybe through a spiritual lens, they knew they didn't do nothing wrong. They were following the Lord. God was up to something. But here again, we see the principle, in everything give thanks, not necessarily for everything. I could just see Paul as he was locked up, stripes on his back. He knew he didn't do nothing wrong. But I could see Paul, and I could think about how he must have went through his salvation experience, and how that he realized that he was going and living life contrary to God, and he was going to persecute the church. And one day the Lord showed up with that bright light, and he fell on his back, and he trusted Jesus as his Savior. And the change that took place in his life, surely Paul at midnight, chained up, bound for doing right, was going through his mind how that God saved him and changed his life. Same thing for Silas. And now they began to rejoice, not because of their situation, but they're rejoicing in a person who saved them and changed their life, and this birthed faith to get through what they were going through. Well, if God would save me, and if God would change me, and if God would use my bad for good, and if he would work everything together for good, somewhere in this midnight nightmare, God has a purpose and a plan. And about that time, one of them started praying. And then someone started singing. Someone said Paul prayed because his name starts with a P. Some said that Silas sang because his name starts with an S. I don't know. But the Bible says they prayed and sang praises unto God. They knew they didn't do nothing wrong. They knew they were in the perfect will of God, though it was dark and gloomy and it was so dirty and bad and they were chained up, yet they sang praises unto the Lord. You know, the Bible says that he will perfect that which concerneth us in life. Meaning, anything you may encounter, the Lord is working. He is, whatever's concerning you today, whatever concerns your life, to him, both matters. He is perfecting. He is completing. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. The Lord was perfecting that which concerneth Paul and Silas at midnight. There were prisoners listening. Now, they may not have chose, if they had their choice, to be locked up in prison just so a jailer would get saved. But you see, the moment Paul trusted the Lord as his Savior, it wasn't up to Paul anymore. If it was a dark dungeon prison experience just for one to get saved, God would send Paul. And you're here this morning and it is dark as midnight in your life. And if it was up to you, you wouldn't have chosen what's going on to take place. But the moment you said yes to Jesus, you removed you from what you wanted to do with your life to what the Lord would have you do with your life. You are at where you are at because God is up to something. If you're saved, if you're following him, if you're repented up to date, those three things. Now, we can't say that, oh, well, I'm in all this trouble and everything because God won't do something, and yet we haven't been following the Lord the right way. We can't say that. We can't continue to live a life of sin as a believer and say, well, it's because of God. I lost my job. No. We slip, we stumble. We confess to the Lord, not to get saved over again, but we confess to him. We slipped. We stumbled. Forgive us. Clear up the cloudiness in our relationship. I like saying it this way. Lily will always be my daughter, but there are times where she may disappoint me. And if she does something that disappoints me and she never comes to me and says she's sorry, she will always be my daughter. But there will be something between us until she says, I'm sorry. Same thing with God. We can't say, oh, Lord, I lost my job. I have no money, no car. And Lord, what are you doing in my life? We can't say it's from the hand of God if we're living a life of sin. But if we're living a life for him and we're staying repented up to date and we lose our car, we lose our jobs, we can say with all confidence, God, what are you up to? This was a dramatic experience for Paul and Silas. And sometimes in life, we find our praise going through those times that are dramatic. And so we see praise in the Bible. That's a part of our thanksgiving. Verbally, physically, and dramatically. There's a second thing I want to mention. Not only praise ought to be part of our thanksgiving, but there's the word prostrate. Prostrate. Not prostate. Prostrate. Prostrate. The word prostrate speaks of surrender. It speaks of worship and humility. In fact, you look up the word prostrate, it's one spreading themselves out on the floor, face down. These are expressions, surrender, worship, humility, prostrate. It's an expression toward Christ for all he's done. Romans chapter number 12. Verse 1, listen to this. Go ahead and turn there. Prostrate. Prostration ought to be a part of our thanksgiving. Romans 12 and verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He says, I beseech you therefore, I beg you therefore, by the mercies of God. Paul says, I'm begging you to do something based upon what all God has done for you. He says, I want you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. Only one man had to do that. A living sacrifice, he says, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I love the Old Testament economy and priesthood. I need to talk about it more often. It was a job in the tabernacle for there to be a sacrifice on the altar. And after that animal was given as a sacrifice, there would be a basin that would catch the blood, and the blood would be applied to the mercy seat. And if it was accepted, then there would be the Shekinah glory of God, knowing that it was accepted. But the altar, there had to be a sacrifice made. And this sacrifice that was placed on the altar, once it was placed on the altar, the hands came off and it belonged to God. It was dedicated to the Lord. Now, I find also in the Old Testament that there were some tools called flesh hooks. These flesh hooks were used to keep that sacrifice on the altar. Sometimes the sacrifices would be so bloody that it would slide right off the altar. And so those flesh hooks were used to bring the sacrifice right back on the altar, position it right, and then they would take their hands off and allow the blood to drain. And whatever wasn't used was taken and burned. The whole entire sacrifice was consumed in some measure, some form or fashion. And the Bible says to us in Romans 12, in verse number 1, that he doesn't want an animal sacrifice. He doesn't want no dead sacrifice, but he wants us to be on that altar. He wants us to take our hands off. And sometimes when we feel like we placed ourselves on the altar and we're getting ready to go back into the world or sin, he wants us to pull ourselves back up on that altar. He wants the whole sacrifice consumed. And so this morning, when it comes to saying, thank you, God, for your mercies on me, He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, the goodness of God, because God has done what he done, lay yourself on the altar. And if you begin to slide off, bring yourself back on until the whole sacrifice is consumed. That's what he wants this morning. Listen, I'm not perfect at this. I'm not perfect at this. All week long, my sacrifice is wobbling and slipping and sliding. Man, just when I think I got my Brother Allen, my walk with God lined up, something starts to go haywire again. Just when I think I've got my sacrifice on the altar so positioned where I can hear straight from God, I've laid this down, I've laid that down, everything is centered and fixed and focused, just when I think it's on there. And I got to catch it. And I got to bring it back up on that altar. That's our lives. That's our lives. It's not that we're not a thankful people. We are a thankful people. I've heard your praise. God's heard your praise. But a part of thanksgiving has to do with prostration, with surrender. And it is a form of worship and humility. Let me hurry. Not only Romans 12:1. I'll turn here. You stay here. Unless you want to follow Genesis chapter 8. Noah, after the flood, the waters debated. We know the raven didn't come back. The dove did, but then the dove came back with an olive branch in his mouth. It was time to walk out of the ark. Verse 16 of Genesis 8 says, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with them. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds went forth out of the ark. What did Noah do next? And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord. After everything the Lord has done, he built an altar. We don't have to further explain our point. You get what I'm trying to say. But I do want to say this, that it costed Noah something. Even after the flood. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took. And took of every clean beast, of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. It cost him something. He made an altar in thanksgiving and it cost him something. Those sacrifices. We're harmonizing Old Testament sacrifice with New Testament sacrifice. It cost us something. We present our bodies a living sacrifice out of gratitude, but yet it cost us something in no measure to what he has paid for, of course. It cost us our will. It cost us our desires and all those things. But God does never, he never asked us to give us, for us to give him our lives where he doesn't replace it with something greater. Let me hurry. Genesis 12:7. Don't turn there. We see that Abraham built an altar out of gratitude for God's appearance to him and for giving him the land and for an offspring. He built an altar. Back in the New Testament, Luke chapter number 5, verse number 1 through 9, we see that the men went fishing and caught nothing. They were even washing their nets. And Jesus said, cast your net on the right side of the boat. And he did. And Peter did. And I won't get into the net versus nets part. I've had a few people challenge me on that. I'll just say net is singular. Nets are plural. They were washing their nets, but Peter only put out one net. Anyway, as simple as that is, a few people challenged me, so I ain't going there. He pulled in the net, and it was enclosed with a great multitude of fishes. And the Bible goes on and says that Peter says, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." Why in the world would he say that if he wasn't holding back on God? But anyway, we see that Peter expressed, he expressed humility here. He expressed, he was even smitten in his heart that God would even bless him after a lack of faith. He says, "Master, we've been fishing all night. We've cleaned our nets. They're put up. We're about to go home and rest. Nevertheless, I let down the net." And so we did. And it was a great multitude of fishes. However you want to slice it and dice it and argue with me, God showed up and showed out. And Peter was convicted. I don't know about you this morning or not, but I know when I haven't given my best and God has blessed me really good, I get so convicted. So convicted. There's the word prostrate, and I'm done with this word. There's the word persistence. We're talking about three parts of thanksgiving. Parts of thanksgiving: praise, prostrate, and then persistence. The word persistence just means continuing firmly in spite of difficulty or opposition. And a person that is thankful will be found pressing on. The same man that was in prison with stripes on his back at midnight chain is the same man who wrote, "Forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to those things which are before." You see, if we're going to thank God for who He is and maintain this attitude of praise, then we'll continue firmly in spite of difficulty or opposition. Persistence is a result of being thankful, or another expression of gratitude is what persistence is. Listen to these verses and I'm through. "Because of God's goodness, I will continue." And here's some verses. 1 Corinthians 15:58 talks about being steadfast. "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Tells us that we're not laboring in vain. Keep being steadfast. Acts 20, verse 24, Paul says, "In all these things, none moved me," being unmovable. Philippians 3, 14, again, talks about pressing onward, forgetting those things which are behind, pressing forward to the mark of the prize, the high calling of Christ Jesus. And then 2 Corinthians 4, 8, and 9, Paul says, "I may be cast down, but I'm not cast out." He says, "I am pursuing the very thing, the very reason and cause God has saved me for. I'm still in pursuit of it." Paul says, "I haven't arrived." And this morning I want to say that none of us have arrived either. We are all in the same boat. We're just in different waters at times. Some are in a storm. Some are experiencing solace and the serene part of the Christian life where things are fine, things are well. Others are going through storms and deep waters. But I just feel like this morning when it comes to Thanksgiving that there's at least three parts that should be part of our life: praise, the word prostrate, and persistence. Father, we love you today. We thank you. We praise you for who you are, for what you do. Lord, I pray this morning that you would just minister to the heart that needs it the most. May we all respond in praise every day that we live. It doesn't mean running out of the house and shouting. It just means walking a walk that you're proud of. We love you today. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet. Our altars are open. Invitation is given. If you need to come, you come.